radio's up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Football Monday. Mike Misnelli Show, broadcasting the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Gang is back together today. You know, this is one of those shows that I always say writes itself. Right? I'm doing Doug Peterson. Right? I do that. You saw the game yesterday. You saw how they lost. You saw how bad this team is. And then today I listened to the coach, a desperate man who made pathetic excuses and false bravado about his resume. And I've come to a very strong conclusion that there is no way the Eagles can proceed with Doug Peterson as the head coach. There needs to be a fire hose that comes through this thing. And it needs to start with the owner taking responsibility that both the coach and general manager have to go. And I know a lot of people will say, well, how could you, from your bully pulpit sports talk radio, to call for anybody's job? Well, you know, I'm invested in this team just like everybody else. And I see what's going wrong with this team. And I see a hierarchy that is not capable of fixing it. So I'm pretty clear-minded when it comes to this. I've seen enough of Doug Peterson. I've seen enough of Howie Roseman, and it needs to be a change. And you can just go on and on and on. There was a coach in yesterday's game that had no idea what he was doing. And here's how I prove it, okay? First of all, they're not well-drilled, they're not well-coached, because any team in the NFL this late in the season that can have five or six false starts is not a well-coached team. You can start with that. Then you can go on to the questionable fourth down decisions where he had no idea what to do on fourth down. None. He went to go for it one time. He doesn't want to go for it the next time. He makes it four down territory, and then he throws a short swing pass to set up a long fourth down. Now, if you're going to make fourth down territory there, you make sure you get the ball down the field so you at least have a manageable fourth down if you're going to go for it, like a fourth and six, not a fourth and 15. And then when you have a fourth and 15, you think it's better to convert that than it is for a kid to kick a 51-yard field goal. That's the one thing the kid can do. He can't make anything 30 yards, but he can make a 50-plus. And I'm going, what is going through this coach's head? This coach cannot sort out thoughts to coach a game, to prepare a team. And he has to go. It's really as simple as that. And he, I think he knows he needs to go. And in a desperate move today, tried to save his job by currying favor with himself, thinking that the fan base would buy his lame rationales of what he's done in the past and how much experience he has in the NFL. I played in the league. You played your sister, all right? You didn't really play in the league. All right, you have NFL experience. I get it. Whatever goodwill you had in this town, you have erased in 3 years. And so we go through this whole thing, and we buy mumbo jumbo, like, oh, my God, Jalen Hurts. They should have had him in there a long time ago. Look how different they look with Jalen Hurts. What did I say about Jalen Hurts when he took over? I said, yeah, he'd probably give him some energy because he can make plays with his legs. But chances are, over these last four games, he's not going to establish himself as a franchise quarterback, as the guy you should move forward with. Is there anybody that thinks that now? I know we had a couple decent games. We had a bad game, but I really look inside yourself and go to yourself: can Jalen Hurts? Am I comfortable riding with Jalen Hurts as my franchise quarterback from this moment on? I don't think you'll come to a conclusion. Yes, so that leaves this organization and team in total limbo, and that means they need to start over. And they got to start over with Carson Wentz. It's really as simple as that. And the only way you start over with Carson Wentz is you get rid of this head coach who has no idea how to coach Carson Wentz. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. And I'm not saying it because I'm pro Carson Wentz, because I'm really not. But I see the logic in this, and you can't get rid of him because of the money. So you might as well change something that would accommodate the guy you chose as the franchise quarterback instead of making some knee-jerk reaction, keeping Doug Peterson, moving Wentz, and having Jalen Hurts be your starting quarterback. Because I'll say the same thing I said before. Hopefully he plays well enough that you can trade Jalen Hurts and get some value, and then you have a new coaching staff starting over with Carson Wentz. That's my solution. If that's not your solution, that's fine. Whatever your solution is, that's why we're here today. But you saw that mess. You saw a guy incapable. Look at that game. Look at the way that game went. He starts off with the run and the read zone reads, and they're moving the football, which is probably the only way you can win that game yesterday, since Dallas can't stop it. And all of a sudden, you go off it, and you panic, and you still have the lead. And what did you see yesterday? Because that's what I saw. On every level, this guy had no idea how to coach that game yesterday. And then I hear the press conference today where he's trying to sell himself. I've had enough. I'm out. All right, so crew, you just heard what I had to say. What do you have to say about what you saw yesterday? Tyrone?
Well, it gets even worse, Mike, because I'm looking at some of this money. They're over the cap. You're talking about a solution. And I think your solution is the only one. I think you do have to clean house for this reason alone. Let's say you want to get rid of some of these veterans. You're going to trade Ertz. Let's say you want to get rid of Carson and Alshon and Deshaun, which would make sense because you want to start over.
Mm-hmm.
That would cost you $50.6 million in your cap to get rid of those three guys.
Yeah.
Howie has put this team in a position where, one, they don't have any talent, and they're limited in their ways to acquire talent. You can't tell me, how in the world do you box yourself in? And don't get me started on the kicker. That's an $8 million hit if you want to get rid of him. Just though, if you want to get rid of Wentz, it still costs you $10 million to get rid of Alshon and $6 million to get rid of Deshaun Jackson. This is what whoever takes over is going to be handed.
Mm-hmm.
That person has to have pedigree. That person has to be smart. That you need someone who's more capable of this crew to get out of this mess if we're going to salvage having a season the next couple of seasons. Other people will say, oh, just wait till 2022 and then you'll have cap space. Well, if you don't make changes, you're going to have inadequate people making decisions with that cap space.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do something. And that whole Jalen Hurts was the savior. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about it. What I'm saying is he's not the savior the way people say. Oh, and he started sooner. Mm-hmm. The Eagles would have made the playoffs. No, they wouldn't. This roster stinks. The coaches stink. And that goes on to two people, Howie and Doug. And you can blame Carson, who didn't even play, all you want. It's Howie and Doug. It's been Howie and Doug all year. And all these people that have tried to deny it need to finally step up and admit it's Howie and Doug. It's been them the whole time. It's not anybody else. It's them two.
Yes, I agree. Natalie, I know you're disgusted.
I am.
With this whole thing.
Well, but you know what? I'm secretly glad, and this is awful to admit, that it kind of went down that way yesterday, because like Ty said, they can't blame the quarterback anymore. The errors are obvious. They're so unprepared, and if I have to sit through another season of Eagles football and watch what we watch this season next year, that's enough. The fan base deserves better, and somebody has to answer for it. Something has to be done. They cannot leave this intact with the way that it is now and expect the fans to come back.
Yeah, I look at this. If you want to look at one part of this game, you can look. First of all, not scoring a point in the second half is pretty much an indictment of Jalen Hurts. Okay, he was very average and mistake prone yesterday, as I thought he would be as time would go on. Now, somehow there was a turn of events in the game where all right, so Dallas gets the big play to Amari Cooper on Jaquette, which is another story altogether, that he was allowed to try to cover guys, and he's like totally not an NFL player, and it took him to, you know, but not that they're going to be that much better with Jalen Mills, but that kid doesn't belong in the NFL. So what they did on that drive, which looked like a touchdown was going to put the game away, they held him to a field goal. So they're kind of still in the game with a lot of time left. It's 20-17, and then Slay makes the interception. All right, so a good team now, a well-coached team, will figure out a way. You got to score there, and then you're a touchdown away, and there's plenty of time left. Well, what happens? Here it is. First play, Hurts is incomplete to Rager. Second play, they get Sanders for 10, but a holding penalty on Pryor. Then a false start on Hurts, and they keep going back. Then a pass is batted down. Then a false start, Seumalo. Now they go short to Ertz, which is both the coach's fault and the quarterback's fault, that he throws a little bailout pass that sets up a 4th and 15, which then they decide to go for. And they throw another swing past the Hurts. And they're like, the whole thing is discombobulated. They got a break, had no idea what to do with it because they're not a well-coached team. Two false starts on that means they're not a well-coached, disciplined team. And I'm tired of people hearing it. People say, well, they do play for Doug. They really respect him. They play for him. Do they? Those false starts, does that tell you they're playing for a guy?
115 right. yards.
Ridiculous.
Penalties.
The whole thing's ridiculous. All right, listen. This is, like I said before, a show that writes itself. So it'll write itself with your comments today. And we'll touch on the Sixers because, teams lose games like that in the NBA to bad teams, right? But I'm looking at a bigger picture. And I'll get to that in a little while because it does involve Ben Simmons. And you know that, like, Ben Simmons keeps me up at night. So I was up last night. So we'll get into that eventually. Here's how you get in, 610-632-0975. Football Monday on the Fanatic is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable in every season. With flexible financing options for every budget, to find a Pierce Phelps Bryant dealer near you, just visit nopaybryant.com. Mike Misnelli Show, Football Monday. Back with your calls after this.
The Mike Misnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we are joined next by the man who joins us every Monday for some game analysis brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Window Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. Without further ado, let's bring him in. He is the great Jalen Hurts. I'm sorry, it's Brian Westbrook. Brian! Brian, be West, how you making out?
I'm doing well, Mike. You miss how you?
All right, by the way, Jalen is brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Window Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. All right, so listen, I'm messing with you here because we were going back and forth. And early on, you're fired up about Jalen, but then suddenly the tech stopped. So I was wondering how you evaluated my man's performance yesterday.
Well, I mean, I think you got to look at it objectively and say that, you know, Jalen started hot. He played well. They went out and put up some points early in that football game. You talk about 14 points early on. You know, they had the run game going. They had the play action pass going. Obviously, the deep ball to DeSean Jackson was a huge play, big chunk plays, something that they certainly needed. Putting up 17 points in the first half was impressive, something that we haven't done enough this season. And then in the second half, you know, things changed. Running game slowed up. Opportunities there just weren't as good. Jalen Hurts missed some wide-open receivers. There were times with his throws he was pressing and trying to make plays that just weren't there to be made. And that's why you get the interceptions. And, of course, you got to hold on to the football. I mean, the ball is on the ground way too many times throughout the course of the game over the last couple of weeks. And so there are certainly things to clean up. But you have to look at the rookie and say that, you know, he played well at least for the first half of the football game.
All right. So let's move forward on the line of thinking because I think what at the end of the day is going to happen is that he's not going to be impressive enough for a majority of fans to go, yeah, we should proceed with him as the franchise quarterback. But where do you stand on that? Have you seen enough to think that they should go with Jalen Hurts next year?
Well, Mike, I haven't changed my stance at all. My stance was very clear when I mentioned it, about 2-3 weeks ago, that they have to see what they have with Jalen Hurts. And because of the salary situation, as far as the dead cap money, if you get rid of Carson Wentz, you can't go into the situation without him on your team. You just can't afford to do it. It would be the biggest hit that any team in the history of the NFL would have taken. So you can't move forward that way. And I can't see a football team having both Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz on it. So in that sense, the only way to kind of resolve this situation is you have Carson Wentz back. You have to find a way to fix Carson Wentz. I'm talking about a total rebuild of his mechanics, his fundamentals, all those different things. You have to fix the quarterback, Carson Wentz. And if you can't, if these two can't be on the same team at the same time, and I don't know that for 100% sure, but if they can't be on the same team at the same time, now you have to see if there's any value out there for a guy like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, that's exactly my stance. But let's look at this overall situation, because you know, I know it's tough for you to go kind of against football hierarchy, and I get where that would be. I have already stated, I've seen enough, that this team is so discombobulated, there needs to be a change in direction with the head coach and the general manager. And you can just look at the way the game was played yesterday. He had no idea what to do on fourth down. The false starts showed an undisciplined team. His game plan came off the running game, which was very successful with the zone read. It's just a mess to me, and it's got to be changed. Now, how do you feel about that?
Well, no, I mean, I think you certainly have to clean up a lot of different things. And your team doesn't get to this point where they've won four games if you're going to be perfect as far as penalties, which they are not. You're not going to get to this point where you've only won four games where you can defend guys down the field, which obviously we couldn't do in the defense yesterday without the quarterback making mistakes like the interceptions and the fumble that Hurts had. I mean, you don't get to the point where this football team is at and if everything is right. The other part to that is part of the reason why you're 4-10 is some of the decisions and play calls from the coach. Doug Peterson, where I thought he had a great feel for the game in the first half, in the second half, it seemed like he went back to the old playbook, the playbook that said, okay, we're just going to depend on our quarterback and allow him to get us in and out of certain situations. And it's just hard to do that with the rookie quarterback. And so because of that, you know, it's hard to sit here and tell you that, you know, Doug Peterson will be back 100% next year. I will say this. And Doug, actually, when you listen to his press conference, he went through his resume pretty well.
Oh, yes, he did.
And I understand where he's coming from. He said, I've been there for 5 years. He's talking about three playoff bursts, two NFC championship games, mm-hmm. and a doggone an NFC East title, and a Super Bowl. He went through all of that, and I understand that. He's pleading his resume, and I get that. I also understand how this team continues to play for Doug Peterson. I get that. That makes sense to me. I understand, and I've been on teams that have quit on coaches before. I've been on teams that have done that. And because of all the things that have happened this year, injuries, COVID, the lack of practices, things like that, in my opinion, you bring Doug back, you find a way, and you have to get this question answered. Can you fix Carson Wentz? Do you know how to fix Carson Wentz? Because he didn't improve all season long. If you can't fix Carson Wentz, then you can't have him back. But if you can, and you have a plan to fix Carson Wentz, like he said he did today, I have to bring Doug back because there were a lot of things against Doug as far as his coaching ability this season. When you talk about the injuries and all those other things that have happened.
Listen, I get it. But see, this has happened time and time again this year. And this notion that the team plays for him, it kind of goes out the window for me. They had six false starts yesterday. Is that playing for him? Is that playing for a disciplined coach? It speaks to your whole discipline as a football team, though. So what are they? What do you mean they're playing for him? What's that mean?
Well, playing for him means effort. Your willingness to go out there and put your butt on the line and execute the play. That's what playing for them is. You've seen teams that have quit on their coach. You've seen teams that, you know, they go down by 7, and the next thing you know, now they're down by 30. We're not seeing that.
See, it's all the same to me. If you don't execute, you're not playing for your coach.
There's a big difference. There literally is a big difference between a team that has quit on the coach and a team that's not executing. And that's a big difference. Now, these guys with the false start penalties, that's a lack of discipline. That's a lack of execution. I get that. But I'm talking about going out there and seeing some of these plays that they are making or trying to make. That's not quitting on the coach. I haven't seen a football team quit on Doug Peterson as of
yet. All right, let's look at the personnel then. Because, listen, they're bare bones. I get it. I understand all that thing. But I go, what is Howie Roe? What gem has he uncovered when you look at this roster right now? When you look at this starting team? Where are the gems?
I mean, no, I haven't seen a bunch of guys and I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, you know, over the last 4 years of drafting, the last four seasons, you know, you had 28 picks. Only four of those guys are legit starters. Maialata, Sanders, Barnett, And you got to question him a little bit at this point because he needs to get out there and play. And Dallas got it. I mean, you got 4 out of 24. That's just not hitting as frequently enough, especially if your team is not, you know, going to be able to win and get some veteran contributions. And so at this point, you have to question Howie's ability to get the right guys in the system, his ability to draft. I know Howie has hit on a lot of free agents. I understand that. He's done a good job with that in the past. But recently, we haven't hit on the draft picks, and that's when you look at teams that haven't been very good. But I'll give you an example. New England hasn't hit on a bunch of their draft picks either, but they have one of the best schemes as far as coaching staff, and they have the best quarterback of all time up there in Tom Brady. We have not hit on a lot of our draft picks, and our quarterback just happened to have one of his worst seasons as a professional. I mean, it's just hard to overcome those types of things, especially when in the season where you have so many injuries across the offensive line, the defensive side of the ball, wide receiver position as well. I mean, it's a perfect storm for everything that's happened with the Philadelphia Eagles this season.
All right, so you're saying that you think it is possible that Hurts come back as a backup, that he has at least established that they could have a competent backup. You think that could work?
Mike, I didn't say that.
You said Carson has to come back as the starter.
No, that's not what I said at all. What I'm saying is that because of the contract, it's hard for me to see this team moving forward without Carson Wentz. It's just hard for
me
to
see that. I agree with that.
You have to find a way to fix Carson Wentz. You have to find a way to get his fundamentals back. You have to find a way to get his footwork back in line with the quality quarterbacking that we've seen in the past from Carson Wentz. The other thing, if you're telling me that Carson Wentz cannot stand seeing Jalen Hurts behind him, the same way that Tom Brady couldn't stand seeing Jimmy G behind him, then now we have to find a way to either change that or move on from Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's the only.
That's basically what I'm saying. Like, if you can get value for Hurts, you move him. But it would be okay if you tried to bring him back.
Again, it depends. The quarterback situation is a delicate thing. When quarterbacks see other quarterbacks in their position that are a threat, then it's an issue. Again, look at the best ever, Tom Brady. Look at his feeling about Jimmy G behind him. He wanted him out of there, and he got him out of there. If you're telling me that Carson Wentz as a player, this is something that only Carson can answer, but if Carson Wentz as a player doesn't feel comfortable with Jalen Hurts behind him, then you don't have a choice, especially if you're going to continue to think that he's going to be the guy that can be the face of this franchise.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I don't think he's comfortable with him. But I guess what I'm asking is, you can't give him away either. Like, if somebody calls and says, we'll give you a third. So you have to give value. So how do you define value? Is a second round pick value?
Absolutely.
It is. So you would take a second round pick. How about a third?
I mean, I think he's a second round pick. I mean, he's the guy that you picked up in the second round. So I'm looking for at least a second round pick. If we're talking about trading, I'm not an expert at trades at all, but I'm looking for at least a second round pick.
Yeah, I am too. I would actually look for better value than what you drafted him. But if that's not available, I'm just trying to think, if you can't get the value, you would chance bringing him back.
Again, if you can't get the value that you're looking for, then you have no other choice. At that point, you got to try to figure out the conversation with Carson. That's the only thing, because that's the variable that you can't control.
Yeah.
You can't control how Carson is going to feel. That's the one thing that you can't control. Now I need to go to Carson and say, hey, how do you feel about this? And if you're okay with it as the starter, you're going to be the guy. You got to, again, rebuild that trust. You got to rebuild.
Is Carson the type of guy that would actually say to you, no, I'm not comfortable with it?
You know,
because we can tell he isn't, but what he say then?
I don't know Carson well enough to be able to tell you what exactly Carson would say. I would imagine that he would say he was cool with it. I would imagine, but again, I don't know him well enough to say yes or no with that.
All right, sounds good. Did you have a good holiday?
It was a great holiday.
Awesome.
Kids are happy. I'm happy. You know, bike is good.
Did you get any motorized stuff?
I got nothing. I mean, motorized, no. I got some clothes.
Not for the kids. Did you get the motorized stuff for the kids?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Cars and stuff. Yeah.
Cars, batteries. We're plugging in everything, charging everything, and getting more batteries every single day. Things like that.
All right. Sounds good. Brian, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you Friday.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Football Monday, and we go from Brian Westbrook to our next analyst, the 5 o'clock hour. He owns the 5 o'clock hour, and he owns Wednesday nights here on 97.5 The Fanatic. He's the great number 7, Ron Jaworski, brought to us, Tyrone, by
Barlow Chevrolet. Barlow Chevrolet is looking for your trade, and there might be more equity in your vehicle than you think. Trade up to a new 2021 Chevrolet today. Find new roads at Barlow Chevrolet in Delran or at BarlowChevrolet.com.
Mr. Jaworski, how are things going for you today?
Michael, actually, very good. Looking forward to 2021 because we're all trying to forget 2020. And, I'm sure the Eagles feel the same way and all Eagle fans feel like I do. What a disappointing, not end to our season, but end of our chances to get to the playoffs yesterday.
Yeah. And I would love to forget this year, except I can't because it leads to so many questions. And so, let's get into a few of them here. And listen, you know how I feel about this head coach. It was really cemented yesterday. I don't think he knows what he's doing. I think whatever he had, he lost, and there needs to be a change. And I know you're not going to say that, but comment on what you think his performance was this year.
No, I'm not for change. You know, I think there are corrections that need to be made. That's obvious. This team is 4-10-1. You'd have to be a moron to say everything is fine. It's not. And changes in some areas need to be made. Evaluations need to be made. And, you know, if you got to make those hard decisions, Jeffrey Lurie, you know, has to make those decisions. But I've been steadfast on my feeling about this 2020 season. I told you I was not happy when Bill O'Brien got fired and Matt Patricia got fired and, Dan Quinn got fired down in Atlanta. I just think it is such a difficult year, season to evaluate people on their performance. I find it even in my personal business, you know, people have gone through so much in this COVID era, people just trying to survive. And, you know, it's just so abnormal that I just feel strongly about, you know, not just letting people go, although things didn't go well, and say, you're fired, because this year has been such an aberration from what we consider a normal football season.
I get that, but I look at the AFC, and I see double digit. I see 7 teams that are double digit wins that had to go through the same thing. So by any measure, this team, I didn't even get to the NFC because there's several that won double digit wins already. There's 4 teams that are double digit wins. So something went really wrong this year. And there is always the chance that a coach goes sour with a certain team. And I believe that has, when you win 4 games and you look at yesterday, terrible mistakes that in week 16, like false starts and coming off the run again when it worked early and 4th down, not knowing what to do and haphazardly. I've had enough, Ron.
Yeah, you know what? I understand your feeling. I understand the passion that Eagle fans have for this team, and I sense that disappointment, and I feel disappointment because I feel the same way. I am just of the belief that if you blow this thing up and start from scratch, now, except there are a lot of issues. We don't have enough time even the whole day today to talk about them, but if you blow this thing up and start all over again, with the cap restrictions that are now going to be in place because of overpaying players for past performance and any way you want to talk about it, I'm just not a big believer in blowing it up. I think corrections need to be made at every level of the organization. And I said to you a few weeks ago, this is an organizational failure. Not Doug Peterson, not Carson Wentz, not Jalen Hurts, not the defense, not the offense, not the space. Everyone's involved in this. This is a 4-10 football team, Mike. Now, you can, you know, there's a caveat we could all throw out there, the injuries, and certainly help deplete this football team in a very big way. But other teams have overcome those injuries. And, you know, you just mentioned teams with double-digit wins, and they've dealt the same COVID we've all dealt with. But It hasn't been the same for everyone. It hasn't been the same for the Raiders and the Browns, who had four receivers benched on Saturday before the game due to COVID. So it hasn't been the same. Everyone's had dealt with it a little bit differently. But I made that statement as a general thought. I just don't see anyone losing their job unless you go through a thorough evaluation. If they're a good coach, a bad coach, a good special teams coach, a good offense coordinator. But only Doug and Howie and Jeffrey know those answers.
All right, Ron, what is the upside of keeping it together? Like, next year they need so much. They're not going to contend next year. So if there's ever time to blow up, it would be now. What's the upside of keeping it together? What have we learned from this year that we should say, well, you keep going with this?
I think if you looked at it in a microcosm this year, you could say, yeah, hey, there's probably some reason to make some changes. But I'm not going to look through that small window. I'm looking through the bigger window, the bigger lens of where this team has been over the last 5 years. You know, it has won football games. It has won a Super Bowl. It has overcome difficult times. This team has not quit on Coach Peterson. They've battled their butts off. Now, hey, the talent.
Did they battle their butts off yesterday?
I think they did.
Six false start penalties is battling your butts off?
Well, that's battling. It's stupid battling, but it's battling.
Oh, but it's not thinking. So you're not, that's not battling.
Well, that's a lack of discipline is what it is. And, you know, you may want to say the coach is responsible for that, or you got dumb players. I can't give you a specific answer, but I just don't see blowing this up is the answer to it.
All right. Listen, I just don't see what the upside would be to keep it together. Howie Roseman's had plenty of chances. Who's a keeper on this team that he selected? There are no keepers. He's had his chance. He didn't perform well enough. Doug Peterson, I know that he had a shine on him several years ago. He hasn't performed well enough over the last 3 years. This team has regressed, and four wins is four wins. It's ridiculous.
You know, Bill Parcells always says, you are who your record says you are. They're 4-10-1. And I'm not saying, oh, everything is nice and rosy. It is not. There are a lot of challenges with this football team at every level, offensively, defensively, and special teams. In the secondary, on the defensive line, at the linebackers, offensive line, wide receivers, tight ends, you name it. There are some problems everywhere on this football team. That's what happens when you're 4-10-1. You have a lot of personnel issues. You have a lot of problems. You have mental mistakes. You have, you know, holding penalties. You have bad penalties. You have pre-snap penalties, which are horrific and totally unacceptable. I'm not exonerating anyone from that because there was some bad, dumb football played. But I just don't see I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to say get rid of everyone. I think there's some really good things within this team. And we may have to do some searching for it, but there are some good things. And I'm just not one to say let's blow this thing up right now.
All right. I don't see many good things as much as you. Let's talk about the – oh, God, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, go ahead. I just don't
see many good things. I'm sorry. Let's talk about the quarterback. How do you evaluate Jalen Hurts yesterday in the overall scope of things? Because obviously he hit some challenges yesterday.
Well, no question about it. After the first quarter, I thought it was going to be a hell of a game for the Eagles offense. I mean, they looked sharp. The play design was extraordinary. You had DeSean Jackson comes up with an 81-yard big play and, you know, then disappears. It just kind of bizarre how that whole thing played out. But after a quarter, man, I'm thinking, all right, we're coming back to Philly with the NFC East on the line against the Washington football team. It's going to be a great game next Sunday. And all of a sudden, the roof caved in. I mean, this team just fell apart after getting a 14-3 lead. So that part of it was very disappointing. I was looking forward to at least a meaningful football game in Week 17.
All right, so you saw what happened in the first half. Zone read, the quarterback successful. All of a sudden, it went away. Is that not a product of coaching?
Yeah, well, it certainly is the play calling. And Mike, here's the other thing. You know, the first thing you hear, you know, after the game, and is Jalen may have had some, you know, lower body soreness and things like that.
I saw where he got hit, and he came up and started. I know the play. So,
Mike, I've been doing this show with you for probably 20 years now.
Uh-huh.
We all go nuts over these mobile runaround quarterbacks.
Yeah.
It's the problem you deal with when you run. You get hurt, and you know we get excited for the wrong reasons about the quarterback position. You know, I want my quarterback. Hey, you know. I don't want to make comparisons to a Manning, a Brady, Rodgers, guys again, who are for the most part, they're play from the pocket, throw the football. You start getting whacked by defensive players in this league, you don't last very long. And I, you know, I, the cumulative effect of those hits wears on a guy, you know, and I just think we sometimes look at the quarterback position and say, well, you know, I want the new shiny toy. I want the guy that can run around and make plays with his legs. I get excited about those guys too, but they very seldom last for a season or have a long career in this league. This is a violent game that these guys play. And when a quarterback breaks that pocket, they know one thing. He's a running back and we can tattoo his butt. And that's what defenses do. And the first thing you start hearing in his third start, now he had lower body soreness. He had this hurting. Of course, when you're going to take the hits you take as a quarterback running the football, it's hard enough to be successful playing from the pocket. So I get very concerned about guys that want to run around and make plays. And by the way, I thought he made some great plays in the game. Some terrific plays in the game. He made some mistakes, but when you're playing from behind, sometimes you got to try to do some 50-50 throws and maybe you come up with a play. Jalen Hurts didn't lose this game.
Yeah.
It wasn't his.
Well, what is he to you? Like if you evaluate him as a quarterback, what is he? Is he a starter? Is he a guy that can lead a franchise? Is he a starter can lead the Eagles? Like, where do you stand on this whole thing?
Mike, the sampling to me is way too small. You know, I've seen Jalen play at Alabama, terrific. Oklahoma, terrific. You know, in three starts with the Eagles, he's played really good football. I still think that at this level, it's too small of a sampling to say I can project him for greatness. You know, we had projected Carson Wentz for greatness, you know, into 4 years, and mm-hmm. You see what happened. There's no guarantee in this business. You've got to work your butt off every single day. And by the way, no one's questioned the work ethic of Jalen Hurts or Carson Wentz and their commitment to help the Eagle football team. But they got to be put in a position where they can be successful as well. But I think both Carson Wentz, I think he'll be better after what he's had to deal with this year. He'll be a better quarterback. And I think Jalen Hurts has a big, bright future.
All right, so are you suggesting that they both come back next year and that Hurts is his backup? What Because, you know, that's precarious.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there's that old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. So,
I
think these are two very talented guys. Now, I'm just giving my personal opinion. I'm not sure how this is going to play out, and I don't think anybody does right now. I would bring them both back to camp. I'd bring them both back. I said this, and you think I'm crazy. Let's go. We got two talented guys. Let's compete for this job. And if one of you guys falters somewhere down the road, the other guy steps in again. There's two talented guys. Let them fight it out.
All right.
I don't know how they get rid of the salary of Carson Wentz.
Well, that's what I mean. You got to keep Wentz. And what I'm asking is, do you have to move Hurts now for value and instead of spooking Carson? Because it looked like clearly he wasn't comfortable with that whole situation. And I don't know what could change next year where he's going to be comfortable with it.
Well, I don't know how uncomfortable Carson was. I always respect the guy that doesn't want to be the backup quarterback if you're the starter. I mean, clearly you wouldn't want a guy that's, oh, great, I got benched, I'm happy. No, I'd want a guy to be ticked off a little bit and be a little bit fiery. But, you know, again, I think we talked about this last week. I have not heard from anyone that I know in that building that has really shredded Carson Wentz. It hasn't happened. Everyone I've spoken to says, hey, he's been a team player. He's been great with Jalen. He's doing all he can to help, and he hasn't shown what at least from some of the things I've read in the newspaper, some of those mm-hmm. accounts, I haven't heard them. Maybe someone else has a different connection than I have or people they talk to, but I just haven't heard that about Carson.
All right. We shall see what happens. This is a very interesting situation.
Oh, yeah,
situation.
We will see.
all right, Ron, listen, thank you. Wednesday night to the Big Ron Jaworski Show. Where will it be?
We'll be at Ramblewood Country Club. We'll be breaking it down again. It's been fun. I mean, it's been, you know, I love when this team wins. A lot easier doing a show. Mike, it's hard doing these shows when the team is losing.
You got a little tennis going on in one of your places, right?
Yeah, we got tennis over at Riverwinds.
Riverwinds. Yeah. I got to get over there. I get tutored. I used to play a lot of tennis. So I got to get back into it.
You know, I used to play tennis, but my knees are shot right now, Michael. But let me know when you want to play. I'll get you some good competition. Hey, you go out there with your buddy Sal Pal. He's the
No. He's too crazy right now. With Sal. Yeah. I haven't played in a while, so I need one of your pros over there to take me through it. You know,
we got great pros. We got about six of them, and hey, you know, it's good social distancing. You know, you play.
That's why I want to get back into it.
Separated. Yeah. All right, Mike.
All right, Ronnie.
Thanks, my friend.
There he is, Roger Jaworski. Okay. Brought to us by
Barlow Chevrolet. Barlow Chevrolet is looking for your trade, and there might be more equity in your vehicle than you think. Trade up to a new 2021 Chevrolet today. Find new roads at Barlow Chevrolet in Delran or at barlowchevrolet.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.